Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. On rare occasions, we are faced with an opportunity which could become a defining moment. I'm sure you've had the experience, perhaps in a conversation, when suddenly you have the chance to say something which may be very significant in the life of someone else. Or in a crisis, you suddenly have an opportunity to jump into the crisis and help bring a solution or help someone in a way that may affect their life for a long time. I wonder what it has been for you, my friend. In Jerusalem, 50 days after that Passover Easter weekend when Jesus was crucified and resurrected, another great Jewish festival was happening, and again, thousands of people had gathered from all over the known world. This time, it was the festival of Shavuot, Pentecost. While the temple area was overcrowded with people and festivities were taking place throughout the city, in one house, a group of Jesus' friends had spent the past 10 days reflecting on Jesus' life, his miracles, his teaching, the dramatic Easter weekend events, his several appearances since his resurrection, and most recently, his ascension, in full view of many of them, from the Mount of Olives right up into the sky and back to heaven. Then suddenly, what sounded like a tornado had swept into Jerusalem with focus on the house where they were meeting. And then what looked like tongues of fire came to rest on their heads. And finally, as people gathered, attracted by the tornado winds, these friends of Jesus began sharing the story of Jesus with them. But as we saw yesterday, the words which came out of their mouths were words they who spoke them could not understand. A miracle of the Holy Spirit was taking place as they spoke in the languages of the people who had come to Jerusalem from all over the known world. Luke writes, "Amazed and perplexed, the people asked one another, 'What does this mean? Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them speaking in our own native languages?'" Acts chapter 2. The defining moment had arrived, and Peter leaped to his feet. Luke writes, "Then Peter stood up, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people.'" Acts 2:14-17. And Peter went on to quote one of the most powerful prophecies in the Old Testament. The closing sentence of this great prophecy spoken by Joel hundreds of years before says this, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Acts 2:21. Peter was making three powerful statements in that defining moment. First, the miracle that Jerusalem was witnessing that Pentecost day was a work of God. He had poured out his Holy Spirit upon a select group of people for a very specific reason at this strategic moment in history, the Pentecost gathering of Jews from all over the world. Second, the words these Galileans were miraculously speaking were words God gave them, telling very important God truths about Jesus, which could be life-changing for all who heard these words. And because the words were spoken in their own languages, there should be no confusion, no misunderstanding. And third, these God truths were not intended only for those in Jerusalem that day, but Jesus had come as Savior for the entire world. And thus, the words these Holy Spirit-anointed followers of Jesus were proclaiming was the gospel, intended by God to provide salvation from sin condemnation to any person who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus. Peter then very boldly proclaimed the truthful identity of Jesus with accusation against those present who may have been in the crowd 50 days before when they called for his crucifixion. Peter said, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know." They knew of the miracles. They could not deny them. Many of them had seen them. Some of them had been participants in those miracles. Probably standing among the crowd that day were people who once were blind and lame, but Jesus had healed them. Peter made it clear. The miracles were God's tangible declaration and proof that Jesus was no normal man. Jesus was the Holy Spirit-anointed Son of God. Peter continued, "This man, Jesus, was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put Jesus to death by nailing him to the cross." This was profound. Peter was claiming that everything that happened to Jesus was according to God's predetermined plan, the only plan that could provide salvation from sin to the human race. Peter challenged these people to realize they must assume responsibility for Jesus' death, but they must also understand, through his death, Jesus was paying the atonement sin price for all mankind. Peter continued, "But God raised him, Jesus, from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of this fact." The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the center core of the gospel. Without resurrection, Jesus is only a martyr who died for what he believed. A dead martyr is admirable, and we honor martyrs, but no dead person can save another person. God's plan of rescue for the human race required both Jesus' sacrificial death and his victorious resurrection from the dead, and God accomplished both in full view of many people. Peter and many others standing there that day had seen, talked with, ate with, and even touched the healed scars of the resurrected Jesus. It's impossible to discount an eyewitness, isn't it? Peter concluded with this statement, "Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and poured out what you now see and hear." Peter was declaring that resurrected Jesus had ascended, returning to heaven, where he sits in authority at the right hand of the Majesty, God, Hebrews 1:3. Peter also was declaring God the Father had given resurrected Jesus, the Son of God, the authority to send God the Holy Spirit to earth, to anoint, empower, and indwell the followers of Jesus. The people could not discount, deny, or disregard what they had experienced with the wind, the fire, and Galileans speaking in languages they did not know, but the languages of those gathered for Pentecost from all around the world. Peter's final conclusion was cataclysmic. "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." The word Lord was the name of God, Adonai. The word Christ was a translation of the word Messiah. Put together, every Jewish person listening was cut to the heart. Peter was claiming this Jesus to be God, Adonai, and their long-awaited Messiah. Everyone who heard Peter was left with only three choices. First, turn away, rejecting what they'd heard and declare Peter to be insane. Second, give serious consideration to what Peter has said and determine to further investigate so they could decide what to do with this remarkable, shocking declaration. Or third, accept Peter's words as God's truth. Yield themselves to it by repenting of their sin and turning to Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, and Messiah. Luke tells us what happened next. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Acts 2:37 and 38. Peter was doing what Jesus had told his disciples to do. Peter had been an eyewitness of Jesus, and now he was sharing clearly, boldly, powerfully the truth about who Jesus was, why he died, why he was raised from the dead and returned to heaven, and that Jesus was now able to save any and all who would trust completely in Jesus and his truth. Peter was challenging these people to take personal responsibility for themselves and their eternal destiny. He was challenging adults to be responsible for the next generation and even people far from God who have no interest in God. Peter was promising that God would forgive their sin if they would repent and trust Jesus. And Peter was promising God would send to them his Holy Spirit, just as God had sent the Holy Spirit to the followers of Jesus. And finally, Peter was urging them to take a public stand, and if they do repent of their sin and trust in Jesus, to declare that decision publicly by being baptized in full view of everyone. So look around the crowd, my friends. Do you see people wrestling with what they've heard? Do you see people discussing it with family and friends? Do you see hands raised asking more questions of Peter and the other apostles? Do you see heads bowed, tears flowing, people getting down on their knees in repentance, pleading with God for forgiveness? I don't know exactly where in Jerusalem this event took place, but I do know there were several large pools in Jerusalem, like the Pool of Siloam. So when Luke reports, those who accepted Peter's message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day, that tells me they likely walked from where Peter had made this speech to the closest pools, and the apostles got into the pools in the water, and lines formed, as repentant people wanted to declare publicly, for all to see and hear, their allegiance to Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. I imagine it happened something like this. Someone would come forward and declare, "My name is, and I am convicted by Peter's words. I agree, I am a sinner, and I can't fix my problem. I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and he died to pay for my sin before God. Today, I repent of my sin. I ask God to forgive me, not because I've done anything to earn my forgiveness, but because Jesus died paying for my sin. I declare that Jesus Christ is alive, resurrected from the dead, and he is in heaven now as my Savior and my Lord. I will now live the rest of my life as a follower of Jesus. My full allegiance is to him." And then can you imagine the applause and the whistles of the crowd as this person was immersed in the water and came up from the water celebrating? 3,000 people. Wow, what an unforgettable experience that Pentecost must have been. So now I ask you, each and all of you, wherever you are in the world, whatever your background or your life story, have you acknowledged your sinfulness before God? Have you trusted fully in Jesus Christ, that his death and his resurrection is sufficient payment so God can declare you forgiven of your sin? Have you asked God to save you from your sin condemnation? Are you confident God has saved you, that if you die in the next 3 minutes, you will be immediately in heaven with Jesus? Have you declared your allegiance to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you stood in the waters of public baptism and declared these truths for yourself, and then been immersed in the water as a symbol of your association with Jesus in his death to sin and resurrection to new life with him? And this question, has God placed his Holy Spirit in you, and are you living in a dynamic, authentic, vibrant relationship with the resurrected Jesus Christ? Are you walking with Jesus every day? Can you say yes to all that? And if so, celebrate. If not, why not? Where is your life out of sync with what I've just said? Jesus is ready to help you, ready to unleash his life-saving, life-changing power right into your life. He's waiting for you. If I may be of any help to you in this, the most essential decision of your life, I invite you to reread what I've just written and spoken, then pray, asking God to help you understand it. And if you still need help, write me. I gave you this song a few days ago, but it so perfectly fits today. I want to give it to you again. The link is in your notes.